So I have to tell you that being in this building day by day is usually a pretty quiet thing. Mr. Roger Miles, our director of education, is usually in his office. Ira Goldberg, our executive director, is in his. Really the one who runs everything, Ellen, is at her desk as Command Central, taking care of everything that we need. I'm at my study. If there's additional noise anywhere in the building, it's most likely from some home repair project that's going on here in the building. Occasionally an outside worker coming for the furnace or the air conditioning, or more often than not, Neil Seiden and Barry Bellion doing work like changing all of the lighting in the building to the magnificent, right in time there. Thanks, Neil. Beautiful lighting there, or Dennis McLaughlin doing work, installing features, upgrading our technology as well. In truth, all of that noise isn't really a bother. And those three in particular, Neil and Dennis and Barry and others, do such great work around our building. I actually have been tempted to get them their own TV show on one of those do-it-yourself networks, right? Actually, do you remember the show Extreme Makeover Home Edition or whatever it was called? Ty Pennington, the carpenter, right? My little congregation outside of Boston in Franklin, Massachusetts was in a little tiny house that we had converted into a sanctuary. And I always wanted to apply that they would Extreme Makeover Temple Edition. If you watch on TV, there are plenty of these home improvement shows. They tell us how to decorate our homes, how to reupholster our furniture, how to reshingle our roof, how to create more storage space, or generally improve our lives by fixing up our homes. How many of you have seen these shows? How many of you have been tempted to launch into one of these projects based on what you saw? How many of you have actually completed one of those? I knew you would have, James. Good job. Right. Despite the number of different shows and the channels they are on, despite the variety of the shows themselves, I am very certain that none of them have contained this particular decorating tip. On the 10th of the month, take a lamb without blemish, a yearling male, keep watch over it until the 14th day of the month, then slaughter it at twilight. Take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the house, then eat the lamb that night, roasted over with fire and unleavened bread and bitter herbs. It's kind of a crossover episode between home repair, home decor, and the Food Network, I guess. Right? Lamb blood on doorposts, not a modern home improvement. But in the Torah portion this week, these are exactly the directions that the Israelites are given by God. Right? Why? Why do the Israelites have to mark their homes? What's the situation? What's going on? Well, as Alexandra is going to teach us tomorrow morning, our Torah portion this week contains the final three plagues, the plagues upon Egypt that we know from the Passover story, including the awful 10th plague, the death of the firstborn son and the firstborn cattle of the Egyptians. And we're told that the Israelites mark their doorposts so that their homes are not marked by death. The blood on the houses, says the book of Exodus, where you are staying shall be a sign for you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you so that no plague will destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Did you hear the Hebrew pun with the holiday's name in there, Passover? Right? Truth, that's where it comes from. Clearly, marked as Israelite homes was the purpose for the blood on the doorposts and the lentils, right? Lintels of the doorposts. Now, we don't do this nowadays, thank goodness, but we do put something up on our doorposts. What is that? A mezuzah, that's right, a mezuzah. It's a term actually that our verse in Exodus actually uses for the word doorpost. That's what a mezuzah actually is the doorpost, the stanchions there, and the amulet, the piece that we put on it, we have taken to become calling a mezuzah. It's a small container, a piece of parchment within it that has the words of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and chapter 11, the Viahafta. Right? You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. That's written on, handwritten on the scroll that's inside the mezuzah that's put up on the doorposts. So what does a mezuzah do? Why do we have this? Well, the author Blue Greenberg has written that a mezuzah proclaims The people who live in this house lead Jewish lives. The mezuzah is a sign of the covenant between God and the Jewish people. It's a sign of God's presence. It's a symbol to everybody who recognizes it that this particular dwelling is a Jewish household, that this particular place is a place where people making Jewish choices in their lives live. Now, some do consider it to be almost an amulet. Have you seen people kiss their fingers and touch the mezuzah when they come in or when they go out as well? Right? Folk ways more than anything else. In truth, I gotta imagine the mezuzah doesn't provide mystical protection, although I may be wrong about that, but I do know that it is an outward sign of the lives that are lived by the people who dwell inside that house. Now, let me be clear. The custom of using a mezuzah to mark our doorposts is not related in any way to the blood of the lamb from Passover and marking the doorposts against the 10th plague, right? It developed in a different way from a different verse. But both of them are ways of marking that a home is a place where people lead Jewish lives and make Jewish choices. So the question that I'll ask for you today for a little bit of contemplation or discussion is, what do we have, not on our doorposts maybe, but in our homes today that might mark them as homes where people making Jewish choices live? That is to say, if I were to walk into a house today, what types of things might people have that would clue me into the fact that this was a place where people live Jewish lives? Okay, this is gonna be the interactive part, very exciting. Right? If you are online, you can put into the chat, what are some things that if we walked into a house that we might see that indicate this is a home where folks make Jewish choices? Those of you here, turn to somebody next to you, share one quick thought and we'll collect some ideas. What might you see in a home that gives you a clue that it's a home where people live Jewish lives? All right, let's see some answers. Online, the number one answer there seems to be a menorah. Did you all get menorah? Check that off on your bingo card. Great. What else? What else might you see in a home that indicates this is a place where people make Jewish choices and live Jewish lives? A Chanukiah. Great. So not just a menorah, but a Hanukkah menorah. Matt. A Tanakh, a Hebrew Bible, Hebrew and English. A Kiddush cup. A Chamsa, that's right. Middle Eastern, the mystical of the palm of the hand. What else? A ketubah, right? Or any Jewish artwork, right? Now a ketubah used to be a little pamphlet certificate. Now they're beautiful pieces of art, right? Or any Jewish art on the wall. Manny. Manischewitz in the wine rack. Yep. A dreidel, a very good year for Manischewitz this year. A dreidel, that's right. Ritual items, what else, Julie? Pictures from life cycle moments. Our kids' B'nai Mitzvah, maybe something like that. Matzah covers, all these ritual items and objects. What's on your bookshelf? What's on the bookshelf there? A Tanakh, a Hebrew Bible. Mishkan Tefillah, good plug for the prayer book, way to go, right? Jewish history books, right? How many of you, when you were little, when your kids were little, when you have them now, got PJ Library books? And we have a whole bunch of that. That's a generational thing, that right? Jewish fictions, books in Hebrew, artwork on the wall, including artwork that your kids may have made in religious school. Anybody have that still? We have lots of Afikoman covers in our house, right? A Jewish calendar, music. Who has Jewish music perhaps in their home as a way of noting that? Jewish cookbooks, Jewish holiday foods, toys. Anybody have the Little People Fisher-Price Playmobil Hanukkah set? We have that too, very exciting. Photograph, all of these different things, right? All of these different things. Look, in the time of the 10th plague, right, the Israelites marked their houses to save themselves from certain death. Right? That was the purpose for it there. But in doing so, they also defined their home's essential nature. And while the ritual, when the ritual practice of affixing a mezuzah on one's doorpost came into being, was no longer so much about protection per se, but rather of identity and public affirmation of the covenant and of Jewish living. Again, it was a definition of one's home. Well, friends, we have that opportunity today in a multitude of ways. I don't think there's ever going to be a Jewish home decorating TV show or channel, but there are so many resources and so many ways that we named online, that we named here out loud, for adding Jewish flavor into our homes. On this Shabbat, let's all consider how we might mark our own homes, that we too could say in so many ways, the people who dwell in this house make Jewish choices and lead Jewish lives. Ken yehi ratzon, may that be God's will. And together let us all say, Amen. Amen.